Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
An urgent High Court ruling this week has put a social media giants on notice. Meta has been ordered to shut down Instagram and WhatsApp channels spreading explicit sexual content involving South African school children, with the court also compelling Meta to reveal who's behind the accounts. It's a disturbing case, but it also marks a powerful moment in the fight for online child safety. To help as unpack the legal, ethical, and digital implications, I'm joined by Emma Sadler. She's a social media law expert and digital law company, the legal team that brought this urgent application forward. Emma, good morning. Thank you for joining us, and well done on this. So this case was fast track. What made it so urgent?
Yeah, I mean, I've been involved in many, many urgents. This is right up there with probably the most extreme urgency. So urgency is actually a court term, and there are basically ways that you can approach the court after hours in certain circumstances. So to be honest with you, I haven't been involved in a court case after hours since the case of being in court in the middle of the night on a case for Zapiro, where they were trying to, Jamiat ul-Ulama was trying to interdict the Mail and Guardian on a Prophet Muhammad cartoon. And I remember leaving court at 3 o'clock in the morning. So there are options, because, you know, we in that case, we literally, with the Mail and Guardian, had the newspapers waiting.
So that is time urgent.
The printing company, exactly. So what's interesting is that in the digital age, it's very difficult to get interdicts once content's been published, because the courts kind of take the approach, you know, we're closing the door after the horse is bolted. So we don't see as many urgents in the interdict space as we used to. This was a post-publication interdict because this content had been published on various platforms and it was ongoing publication. Now, where you are showing child pornography to children on an ongoing basis and there's more content coming out all the time, then of course there are grounds of urgency. And a lot of the platforms on Monday were threatening that there was going to be this 8 p.m. drop, a drop of leaks which are submitted to whoever's behind this account, those being nudes and sex tapes of children, school-going children. And those were solicited using an anonymous link on Instagram and then would be shared on these WhatsApp channels. Now, the WhatsApp channels, to be honest with you, a week ago even, I didn't really properly know how they worked because they're just not something that's in my radar. But a WhatsApp channel is a mechanism for somebody to create a platform, and anybody can go and choose to follow it. There is no limit to the number of participants who follow. So, for example, on a WhatsApp group, there's a limit of 1,024 people. And then there are obviously communities where you can add groups on top of groups. This is a totally separate thing. This is called a channel, and you can have literally hundreds of thousands of people following one channel. And most important is that it's completely anonymous. There's no identifying information of the owner of the account, the creator, anybody else on the platform, just complete anonymity. So it's an absolute disaster waiting to happen. And I'm amazed there haven't been more cases internationally around this. I actually find the whole premise of a WhatsApp channel on a platform targeting children indefensible.
Look, it's very hard to get my head around this. Does somebody profit from this? Like, what motivates? I know we're getting into things that actually have nothing to do with the court case, but I'm just so intrigued. I'm repulsed and intrigued. I don't understand the motivation or the basis for anybody doing this.
Yeah, well, we can't either. Certainly from Meta's point of view, there's a profit incentive, right? The more content, the more traction.
Got it.
You know, that's always been the issue with Meta. So when we talk about Meta, we're talking about Facebook, Instagram, which are the clearly monetized platforms. WhatsApp is sort of edging towards monetization. But really, you know, the more people, the more eyes on screen, the more money they make. That's the bottom line. So that's Meta's involvement. And also prioritizing profits over safety. You know, we've had this ongoing fight all over the world against Meta of, you know, give us the basic subscriber information. The only way we're able to find out who's behind these accounts is if you tell us, because you're the keeper of the keys. And historically, when I've had these fights with them, they sort of throw up their hands and either say, we don't have jurisdiction in South Africa, or they throw up their hands and say, you know, we're not responsible for the content on the platform.
And that's why FICA wouldn't make a difference, because it's non-South African.
So RICA should do, because
RICA, not FICA, apologies.
because it, you know, at least if we get cell phone numbers, those numbers in theory should be RICA'd. But they keep more than that. You know, we know that this person has created over 30 Instagram accounts. We're up to about 7 different WhatsApp channels, all soliciting in the range of 20,000 kids following each of those. And so they've got a lot of data on this person. They have IP addresses. They have email addresses used to set up Instagram accounts. They have cell phone numbers. They have login, logout information. We call this the basic subscriber information. And you know what? Maybe it'll lead to nowhere, but I don't believe it will be. I believe that this is a South African child, a teenage, school-going age. You know, in the very early correspondence, when I say very early, I mean on Friday, there was sort of suggestions that this person may have been heartbroken or scammed by a girl who he was sexting for money, and he wanted his money back. There seemed to be some kind of intimation there, but the rest of it, we're dealing with a lot of sort of incel culture, you know, which was canvassed, I thought, so brilliantly in adolescence. You know, there's a lot about fixing South Africa by sharing these girls who, you know, they deserve what's happened to them, is what this person behind
the
it,
message.
You know. What did they think was going to happen by sending a nude to somebody? What did they think was going to happen by sending a video? You know, a lot of that victim blaming, which is just so rife, I'm afraid, in our society, but so awful. And then even when the account owner was alerted of suicides, alerted to suicides in the last day or two by suicides of teenage girls.
Yes, because I mean that was used in the court papers, right?
Yeah, boasting about it. You know, well, what did they expect was going to happen? I'm not doing anything wrong. This is their own fault. This is, they sent this content. Just completely remorseless, if that is a word. It's early, and I haven't had much sleep in the last few days. But it has been absolutely frightening to see that. And then from a cultural point of view, the other thing that's worried me is the content of these. And we obviously, this is a sort of family time radio, but the nature of the material is very violent against girls. It's made me very concerned for what these children are seeing. You know,
and in fact, you've been dealing with this. This isn't your first rodeo. I mean, this is a something that you've been very, very much involved in. And parents, South African, parents might not even know what content their children are seeing on these channels,
Or even that a channel exists.
Yeah. Because it's hard to imagine it. So therefore, that being the case, you wouldn't even know. What can parents do?
Well, the most important thing, sort of, we're going to go back to basics, not letting children have cell phones too young, you knowing about the platforms. You know, the best line of engagement, the best line of defense is active, involved, engaged, aware parents. So not taking the approach of throwing up your hands and saying, well, I don't know how Snapchat works, so I'm, you know, it's putting the responsibility on yourself to learn about these platforms, what the risks are, what the issues are.
Yeah.
So that's obviously the first thing. Speaking to your children, trying as far as possible to have open conversations with your children about the kind of content that they're seeing. I do think that when you have children, the curiosity is just immense. You know, even these groups, if they really abhor everything that's being sent on it, there's still the kids who are joining these groups just to see what's going on. So explaining that if you're part of a group chat, if you're following an account, you're part of it. you know, you can report content, but as far as possible, you know, leave that content, and talk about issues that make you upset. So you know, this WhatsApp channels thing, I think this is going to be the beginning of a big fight.
I was going to ask you, is this the beginning of a wider reckoning for big tech and how they handle child protection?
You know, hopefully, we've had ongoing issues where we've had zero buy-in from any of the companies in terms of South African laws. I think that we are going to petition ministers, portfolio committees, a government to try and get some answers about how is this allowed to happen? How do they not give a damn about South African rules and laws? We did cite in the papers, the first respondent was obviously Meta Platforms, but then the second, third and fourth respondents are people who we know work in Bryanston, South Africa, who are involved in policy at Meta. And you know, we got our usual response when we sent our letter of demand on Monday. And that usual response was, oh, well, you've sued the wrong people. You've got to take it up with Meta Platforms in America, i.e. sue us in America because we don't have any control in South Africa over what's going on any of these platforms. The only company that exists in South Africa is an advertising / marketing arm. Now, I mean, even with all my connections and resources, to institute legal action in America is prohibitively expensive and complicated. You know, if they're going to be making money out of South African users, which they are, if they're going to have employees and a company in South Africa, which they do, then they must start playing by South Africa's rules.
Absolutely right, and that is where we leave it. Well done on this, and just keep fighting the good fight. It's really, really critical. It is 6:46. That's Emma Sadlier. She's a social media law expert and digital law at the Digital Law Company. It's 6:47.